business, girl.
Hey guys, welcome back to another Silver Linings with Lojo episode. I am so excited to be back. Literally, I did not realize it had been 2 months. When I tell you, I have no concept of time. I do not. Like, when I go to do assignments and stuff, I'll sit down and I'll be like, oh, maybe it's been like 5 minutes. No, 4.5 hours, fully. So the topic I want to talk about here today is, okay, for reference, I went to talk about this like literally 2 months ago when I should have kept this up. But what it is it's sort of like the pressure that we place on ourselves in terms of academics. And I'm honestly really glad I waited because some crazy shit has happened to me the past like few weeks. Like my life has been turned upside down and I could not be happier about it. And I think that it really feeds into what I'm about to say today. So obviously we don't talk about this enough, but you know people on social media that like they pretend like their life isn't going to shit, and well, that was like kind of an overarching statement, but like there are people who like they're like everything's going to hell, and like instead of addressing any issues they have, or they like just pretend like they're shitting sunshine and fucking rainbows. And it's honestly like people do the same thing with academics, but we never ever talk about it. So that's what I want to talk about today is academics. I'm going to give you like my full-on lowdown, and then I'm also going to talk about my recent experiences with internships and stuff, and then I'm going to finish out with reading my college essay because I think it is the probably most bizarre thing, and I don't know how I got into some of the schools I did. Like, what the absolute fuck? You're going to be feeling the same way after this. So my whole thing is we always place so much pressure on numbers. Like, there's always the SAT, the SAT, there's always, I literally just said the same fucking thing twice. People just place so much pressure on like either like preparing for these tests or like just in terms of like a GPA. We place so much pressure on ourselves for that perfect 4.0. I have never fucking had a 4.0. Like maybe like elementary school me, like bawling with all like the E's. I don't know. But like, growing up, I always placed so much pressure on myself because I was never sort of the prettiest in my friend group. Also wasn't the funniest, but I was like, you know what? Damn well, I'm going to be the smartest. And I remember, this is so violently vivid, but you remember like fast math? I don't know why I just posed a hypothetical question to myself, moving on. But we used to play fast math in class. And then the teachers or whatever additional administrators would come in and get the kids for AGP, which was sort of like the accelerated gifted program. And I used to sit there every day doing fast math, just trying to like prove myself to them, thinking, I don't know, they're looking at my grades or something, that I was trying to prove myself. And I just thought if I worked hard enough, one day they would pick me up for the AGP program. And then at, I don't know, like the playground one day, I got taken in to take this test and I didn't know what it was for, and they just kept showing me stupid flashcards and I just wanted to go back and play, so I just completely bullshitted it, and apparently that was the AGP test, so okay, cool. But I just remember growing up, I was always just a part of so many different academic things because I found so much value in myself from them. And looking back on it, I didn't find value in sort of the academics. I found value in the challenge. And that's the most important thing because we place so much sort of value on ourselves in terms of numbers. And like, it's not quantity, people, it's quality. Every single time, it always beats it out. Okay, I fully got distracted. I don't remember what I was talking about, but moving on. And like, I was such a kid who loved to read. And fully, I had the most AR points, if anyone knows what that is. And then what really sucked is growing up, once they started forcing me to read, I never read again. And I read now, thank God, because I've realized that like I do it because I want to and because I like it. And the same thing applies to so many things in life. And even like coming to college, I started off as I want to be a doctor. That was just some random fantasy I'd created up like my junior year of high school. I want to be a doctor. Doctor. Well, damn well, I should not be one. I can't even say the word. But once I got here, I started doing the classes, absolutely fucking hated it. No, like I thought I was like, I'm smart enough to do this. I know I am. Like, why do I hate it so much? And why do I keep doing bad? And I was doing bad because I didn't like it. And I didn't want to keep learning it. And so I felt when I switched my major, and I switched computer science, I think I mentioned that a different episode, I felt like a total failure. Because I felt like I was giving up on everything I expected of myself, when really I was just finding something I actually liked. And that's what is like a big thing, because I feel like we're so scared of screwing up that we are, and like making quote unquote mistakes, that we just hide and stick to a path instead of sort of putting ourselves out there. Because it's sticking to what you've always expected yourself of, it usually doesn't go well, because either you won't get to the place where you think you would. Like, I think I saw someone's TikTok the other day, and it was like 8-year-old me saying I'm gonna go to Harvard Law, and then it's 20-year-old me just wanting to wake up the next day, make sure everything keeps moving. But like, I'll tell you, I was such an overachiever in high school. But there's this one quote, it's by Zach Bryan, and it's why do we only see the good times looking back at them? In high school, I didn't live in the moment because I was so stressed out about the future. And I felt like I always just needed to be the best at everything. And sort of in trying to do everything, I wasn't good at anything. And it was really frustrating. But I felt like I just needed to fit or like check all these boxes. And nothing I did in high school was to sort of like get into college or something. It was because I loved it. But sometimes I just felt like if I was going to, like, I remember a lot of people, when if they did something and they didn't like it, they're like, our college is gonna like think bad about me if I quit this club. Like, no. But we think we have all these perceptions about ourselves. And I don't want to sound this like a weird flex, I don't mean it like a flex, but like, I just did so many things in high school. I had this girl, this was so cute, she texted me and she's like, hi, like, I'm in eighth grade at like a school in North Carolina, and like, my dream is to like go to UNC and be an 80 pie. And she asked me about like what I did in sort of high school in order to get into here. And it was so cute because she like listed all the different like volunteering things she was doing right now. And I just, my whole emphasis, I can read what I wrote her. I'm not gonna say anything academic because I feel like that's weird. But I said, you're so precious, oh my goodness. So I'm out of state, so my stuff is a little different. But for context, I got into just the schools that I got into. But in high school, I was captain both senior and junior year of my varsity lacrosse team, did theater at the all-boys school and the all-girls school, and I was like a semi-lead my freshman year at the all-girl one, and then I was the female lead at the all-boys school. I was a four-year varsity cheerleader, president of Medical Explorers, VP of Key Club for 2 years, did integrated mathematical oncology research at the only place in the world that does it, which is Moffitt Cancer Center, was a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Student of the Year, making a team, which has since then accumulated $300,000 for cancer research, was a part of a couple different nonprofits, was on Mayor's Youth Corps, and then I listed my GPA and stuff, which is stupid. But literally, I just said, literally, you do not need to do a quarter of the things. I just love being active in the community. So honestly, my biggest piece of advice would be to find things you love and be creative with them and find ways to lead whenever possible. But most of all, don't just do things to do things. Because I know some people in high school who did that, and they struggled once they got to college because they focused on their resume rather than their work ethic and got burnt out because they weren't having fun and balance. And I was like, oh, I totally forgot I was the VP of Best Buddies for 2 years, and we won like the best associate chapter in the nation. But I just did a bunch of different things. But I was like, your freshman year and your sophomore year, focusing on exploring new things and continuing to challenge yourself, but having as much fun as you can, reminding yourself that challenge is not equivalent with anxiety and frustration, it's growth. So don't be afraid to quit if you feel as if something isn't a good fit. And I said, like, I struggled with that in the long run. And like, I would leave my house every morning at probably 5 a.m. I'll go work out, whatever. They knew me by name at the coffee shop. I literally didn't show up once, and they called me and made sure I was not dead. But I was also tired, and I missed out on so many opportunities with my family and even my friends sometimes. And I feel like I haven't stayed in great contact with people from high school, and I'm not sure if it's because we weren't as close as we thought we were, or if I just was focused on so many things all the time that I wasn't able to sort of like be there for them and live with them in that moment. And so it's just a really weird feeling. And in college, you have absolutely negative room for error. Like, you miss a homework assignment and you have a C in the class, like, you're done for. It's really bizarre. And all my friends seem to be doing so good all the time, because it gets awkward to talk about, like, academic, quote unquote, like, I just want to say frustrations. Like, they're not failures, they're frustrations. Because, okay, I have a very, actually very specific example of this. So freshman year, I didn't do great. I pass-failed chemistry and I did fine in my other classes. I was rocking like a strong 3.9. And like second semester, I also pass-failed bio because I was like, oh shit, yeah, I really don't want to be a doctor. That was stupid for me to take. And then my sophomore year, I guess it was the fall. Yeah, it's the fucking spring now. It was the fall. I was finally excited to be in my major that I felt like I had absolutely no room for error. And I didn't pay attention to my friends as much, and I see it a lot more this semester when I try to reach out to people and I realize, oh, I just saw them on the weekends last year. And I felt like I was just always either by myself, like, I literally had to set a New Year's resolution this year to not spend more than 2 hours in the library by myself, because I would get depressed and cry. And it's just, we feel all this pressure all the time, and I felt as if I couldn't mess up. And I actually did pretty good at the beginning. I'm really proud of this. I got a 100 and a 95 on my two multivariable calc exams. But that's the thing. I worked so hard that I didn't... There's another quote. This is by Dumbledore, literally from Harry Potter, and it's one of my favorite quotes. And it's, "It does not do good to dwell on dreams and forget to live." And last semester, honestly, I forgot to live. And I was on new medication, and I just sort of blamed it all the time. And do you know that book where it's make your bed? And it says, if you don't do anything right, at least you made your bed. Or, like, that's, like, your one success. At least you had one success of the day. Well, half the time I would have that success, but it wouldn't be because I made my bed. It was because I hadn't slept in it. So it's just still made from the day before. But I was working so freaking much, and I was so tired by the time exams came around that I literally failed every single one of them. Like, I fully did not, other than drama, I did not get higher than a 60. So that perfect A+ or whatever I had worked all semester for in Math 233, and I was also in discrete math and some computer class, like, all my grades were fucked. I literally got a C+ in discrete math because I gave up. And there's also such a stark difference between efficiency and half-assing. We don't let ourselves experiment with that. And what I mean is my computer science classes. So computer science is so bizarre and so different from everything else. But if you just sort of like dive into it without thinking about it, you end up running yourself in circles trying to, like, do something that you should have just, like, if you had taken a moment to think and be efficient rather than just, like, dedicating hours when it's something that should have just taken two. And this is so embarrassing. I spent over probably, like, 120 hours on this one fully, like, 15-point assignment for computer science because I didn't take the time to think about it because we're always in a rush all the time. And here's my main point by that. It's, we focus so much on our grades that not only do we forget about our own well-being, we also forget about the skills that we're learning along the way. Because there's such a difference in thinking, oh, I did bad on this test. Shit, my life is in ruins. Time to go burn the world. And being like, okay, I didn't study in the right way. Maybe if I do this instead, it'll work better. But there's also a different step you can additionally take where it's appreciating yourself for the effort you put into it and appreciating yourself for how much you've grown and how much just dedication you have for all of the things that you're doing, and also reflect on them and be like, if I don't like this, switch. And I've had so many people this semester like talk to me about just hating their major, and they don't know what to do, and they feel like it's too late. It's never too late. There was a fully, like, there's the cutest little 50-year-old man in all my comp sci classes. I want to give him a hug. And it's never too late to just do what you actually like and explore with it and have fun with it, because you don't just need to stick to this path, and you also don't need to stick to the idea that you need to do XYZ, you need to get all these grades. Like, your grades, people say it all the time, they don't define you. What defines you is your leadership skills and your creativity and your willingness to learn and be determined and put in that work without always receiving sort of that product from it. Because you won't. That's not how the workplace works. There's a reason why every single job interview will ask you, so you face this challenge, how did you come over it? And I always sort of laugh at myself, because I'm like, I've honestly had a really great life. And there's no need to sort of like compare, I don't know, like traumas or whatever. Like, you don't need ever diminish your own feelings. But I like had a very stable life. I haven't had multiple huge challenges. But a lot of the challenges I've had have been internal and just being so fucking hard on myself all of the time. And I never think I'm doing enough. And it's so discouraging, because you think sort of, oh, if I'm not going to do enough, then why should I do it at all? And at the same time, like, I remember in high school, I did all of these extracurricular things because I thought, oh, this place is super fucking hard. Giving context, I went to a fancy private high school, all girl, whatever, trauma. But I came in not knowing what a noun was. No idea. No fucking clue. First day in English class, we start doing grammar. Everyone's like, ha ha ha, a noun, a person. I don't know what the rest of that is. But I'm like, oh fuck. Oh fucking shit. And I had to work so hard just to get on the level of sort of academics that they had been taught their entire lives, because everyone just sort of funneled from a bunch of different other private schools. And I just felt dumb. But I did realize, like, I just need to put in more work. But it's not even that you have to put in more work. You just have to put in a little bit more attention, a little bit more efficiency. You don't need to be the one who works the longest. You need to be the one that works the hardest with, like, the least amount of time. And there's also sort of that idea that you always need something to present from your work. And we always base it on numbers. And this is what I'm gonna get into, and I'm really excited about it. So recently, I don't even know when I freaking applied to this, but I applied for this sort of Goldman Sachs Possibility Summit. I think fully at the beginning of September, I went ham and just applied for every internship I possibly could. And every summit, every whatever. And I applied to it. And then I got an email, or it was like to my personal email, which I never check ever. And it was like, this is starting. I was like, Goldman Sachs? That sounds fancy. And I ended up going to the summit, and it was 3 weeks of, like, I think it was 50 overall things that we had to attend. It was absolutely insane. But the people there, that when they talked about their work, they just lit up. And we talked to so many super high up executives, and half of them didn't even, like, the funniest thing was what they mentioned the most was that none of them knew banking terms before they went into banking. One of the highest people we talked to, she literally was a biomedical engineering major, and she's doing, I think it was like asset management or something. And all of them just mentioned so redundantly how they don't, like, they're not the smartest. Like, they're not the smartest of the respective schools or whatever, but they are the ones with the, as I keep saying, just that drive, that extra bump in that they want to do good things, and that drive and that additional just, I can't even like put it into words, just wanting to work hard, that effort, the creativity and the leadership and the willing to speak out and speak your mind, give your opinions. That's what got them in their positions. Okay, these are some of my favorite quotes from their things. One of them literally said word for word, being a great person always beats being a technical genius. Like, are you serious? And this is coming from people who are obviously, like, so smart, But they always just emphasized over and over and over again that it wasn't their quote-unquote intelligence. It wasn't their GPA that got them a job there. And they also, I really like this one. It says, practitioner versus academic is very different. And you won't believe me when I say this one, though. Knowing less can be great, too, because you're more open to new ideas. Like, just that openness to learn. It's crazy. But what I'm getting at there is the international lead for recruiting came to our final event. And they sort of did these three superlatives for the event. And I got one of them. And I was so excited. And I think it was like 7,000 people applied for this, and they chose 300. And I was the one chosen for the best networking skills. I like was literally beaming. I was so happy. And a lot of people told me it was just like the way I talked to people and the way I actually listened. And I wasn't just doing it to sort of get ahead. We had people that I wanted to punch in the face on these Zooms, because no one would ask a question. They would like put their hand up just so people could like see them, or they could be the first to ask a question 30 minutes later. And I saw that the recruiters usually didn't choose them because they're just so over just sort of like bullshit antics. They wanted real people. They want people that they want to be friends with and like work together. And that's like what is most important. And we lose that in like the fact that I loved reading as a kid, in the way that sort of our school system forced me to hate it, is so sad. So we're in this thing with everybody and a bunch of these executives and literally the international freaking lead for recruiting. And I get called out for the best networking skills. I was so beyond excited. I was so excited. But yeah, and I did, they chose like a few different people in order to move on. And I was one of them. And I was so excited about it. And I had to do a higher view. For my higher view, for someone who sits in their room by themselves talking on a microphone, if you all saw me doing this, I like literally shake the whole time. Like ADHD just takes over. And the higher view, I get on and they ask me questions. And I'm just beaming, smiling, shaking. And I'm like, I probably look full on like I'm having a seizure out here, and they're gonna hate me. All of the things I was saying, they had value, but I was speaking with so much passion that like I was just shaking. And I thought I was just gonna get cut, and I was so sad. But what was actually really cool is I got chosen for asset management, and they had sent me this thing before I did my higher view. And I went into our group me, and apparently they had sent that to everyone else out like after they did their higher view. And we were all doing it at different times, so like I don't know if they like chose me before. Like I just thought it was cool, and they sent me a hat. I got a hat. It's just like I feel like a seventh grade boy saying this, but hard work pays off. People notice when you're confident and you're excited to be doing what you're doing. Like for college, for high school, don't do something because someone wants you to. I met a girl in Mexico. She was trying to choose between Stanford and Arizona University. And Arizona is a great university, but you hear these two names and you're like, you dumbass, go there. But I was talking to her, we were having a real conversation. She was like, I don't think I'll like it. That happened with me and UNC in a different university. That was my whole thing. I'm like, I know myself and I won't like it. You don't have to get lost in all these numbers and all these facts and figures. You need to like understand yourself. Don't be someone you think you can be someone you want to be. Moving on with the Goldman Sachs stuff, I moved on from there. So they chose me for asset management division, client relationship management in either New York or West Palm Beach. So I guess I'll be like, I'm waiting on a super day, like sort of like them to send me stuff for that, which would be really cool. I guess they'd just like fly me out, but that's bizarre. But that's the biggest thing. Like I'm freaking computer science. That doesn't have to do anything with this, but what it does have to do with it is those thought processes, because that's what computer science has taught me, is the way to think through things. Another thing is, like, y'all are gonna shit your pants. I sat there like 15 minutes just like staring at the screen. I got an email the other day scheduling an interview, and I hadn't applied to this job, and I keep saying and. Please don't think I'm annoying. I'm sorry. I just have no train of thought. It's just a downward spiral down a hill. I don't know, into a pile of mud. But I just stare at this email, and it's saying that that two managers had reached out to her because they had seen me somewhere, and I guess it was on LinkedIn. I don't fucking know, but that they had sort of mentioned me to her. I'm staring at this email, losing my mind, because you know who it fucking was? Apple. Like, okay, what? And I was just so excited, because never before had I seen, like, I felt like I was an idiot last semester. I got a C+ in discrete, and I, like, all my work had just gone to shit by the end of the semester because I burnt myself out. And I just thought, I'm in, like, you can say, oh, whatever, like, you still got semi-good grades or something, but there's a million and a half people with better grades than me. And Apple reached out to me. And I guess it's because I do app team and I learn iOS and I just have so much fun. I do a bunch of different coding languages. I do R with my research. That was really cool because I was in a class with her and then she chose like a few people to do it with her. So I do that with like Gillings and the EPA. So that's an R. And then my classes were in Java, C, and Python. And then I did JavaScript in high school. I do Swift with app team. And I just do it because I love it. And I've had such a passion for it. And it's so fucking frustrating. So frustrating. I am not good at it. I can tell you that. I am not good at it whatsoever, actually. There are many things in this world that come easy to me, and coding is at the bottom of that list. Like, coding is just not something that comes easy to me whatsoever, but I love it, so I want to work hard on it. I want to get better, and people notice. And I just gone my whole life thinking that they don't. They freaking notice. So I literally had two interviews with Apple 2 weeks ago. It was crazy. And the two managers had reached out to her about me. At the same time, I felt like I was just having imposter syndrome as well. A lot of people at the Goldman Sachs thing were talking about imposter syndrome. So know if that's you, you're not alone. I feel alone in a lot of my classes. It's really hard to make friends in them. I try, but people just sometimes aren't the friendliest, or they aren't used to people coming up to them. I don't know. My thing is just like, be friendly to everyone. Sometimes just people need it, and sometimes you can make a good friend out of it. Who knows? I remember last year, like, someone needed a freaking, like, sticky note or something, or they needed the PowerPoint, and I was like, oh. I passed a sticky note to the girl who was just a few rows down with, so that she could write her email on it. I could just send her the stuff. We ended up, like, texting and becoming friends, and just, like, before every exam, we would send each other a little text and be like, you got this. Like, just be nice to people. That's another thing. Like, but at the same time, it's hard because a lot of people, I feel, this was probably a lot more relevant in high school, but people were fucking competitive. Like, I remember there was this story where a valedictorian, the year before I graduated at my high school, would make fake Quizlets. Like, what the fuck? Make fake Quizlets in order so everyone would do worse than her. That is just so embarrassing to me, because other people's success, I'll say this a million times over, doesn't diminish your own by any means. It's literally a collective. Another, my favorite quote from Goldman Sachs, the whole thing was, at Goldman Sachs, we don't run to the door to slam it in your face. We run to the door to open it for you. And I think we got to start doing that in our classes and just being nice to people, bonding and wanting to get better. Because I feel like a lot of times it's really hard to ask for help. I remember I prided myself so much in high school on never needing a tutor. Bruh, the freaking people in office hours know me by name. One of the guys like rolls my eyes every time I come in, because I am there 24/7 because I need help. Like, last semester I would just struggle on my own and think, no, like, I'm smart enough to do this. No, bitch. You are smart enough to do this. Doesn't mean you should. Doesn't mean you should just make yourself cry and hate everything. Like, ask for help. But it's so hard sometimes. This is what I was getting to. The name of this episode is Catch Up Culture, because we always feel as if we need to sort of sprint to the front of the line in order to win. That's not true. Like, the race isn't over until the last person crosses. And so at the same time, we always sort of feel like we're behind everyone else. We feel like we can never be enough. And it's that same thing with, it's like catch up and it's comparative culture. And it's what makes people afraid to show their weaknesses and admit to their weaknesses and wanting to grow and build their weaknesses into strengths. Because we feel like if we even show someone their our weaknesses, it diminishes our value as a person. And it diminishes sort of their perspective of us. And that's not true. The people who admit their weaknesses to me, I respect the most. Like, you don't need to put on a fucking face and act like everything's perfect, sunshine, dandies, shitting rainbows. Like, it's okay to not be okay. I feel like in high school and college, there's always just this emphasis on stepping stones in life. Even in the job world, the professional world, there we go. The job world, Jesus Christ. Even in like the professional world, you always feel like you just need to work in order to get the next promotion. You feel like you always just need to be like jumping from place to place. There's always something else you should be working for. And that's not true. Building, like, you can't, sometimes like the rocks will be too far apart, you can't jump. And that's when you need to have the skills to build a bridge. I've always had the mindset, I call it front loading, where I'll do all my work at the beginning of the week so that I can sort of enjoy the rest of my week, like Thursday, Friday, like if I don't feel good or whatever, I don't need to put in that additional effort. I will never miss a game day because of homework. Never. No, absolutely not. I never actually get to relax on like sort of like my days off per se, because I always feel like there's something else I could be doing. I know people talk about stress all the time, and this may not be relevant to everybody, but for me, like, school doesn't even get in the way that much. It, like, half the time, it's just the thought of school and the thought that, once again, like, I could always do more to, quote unquote, be ahead. I, like, always try to make my life easier for the future. I'm like, oh, if I finish this now, then I'll be able to relax then. No, bitch, you're going to be in that same mindset, and you're just going to be stuck in this redundant cycle where, once again, we're dwelling on dreams and forgetting to live. And that's my thing. It always has to feel like accomplishment is equivalent with completion. And it's not. You don't need to get to the next stepping stone in order to have success at your current one. And that was the thing in high school. I wish I had just taken more time to myself and to my family. And in college, I'm actually trying to make that additional effort. I'm trying to hang out with my, because I have friends who refuse to hang out with anyone during the week. And I'm just trying to get myself out of that. I actually like made for one of my New Year's resolutions, I made a rule that I wanted to hang out with 3 people a week, like not including like partying or whatever, but 3 people intentionally, like get coffee or get lunch. I wanted one of them to be someone I'm super close with, and then 2 of the others be people I want to get closer with, or I felt myself drifting from. And like, I'm not doing great academically this semester, but I have noticed a lot of growth. And I've noticed that I'm proud to be doing what I'm doing, and I enjoy what I'm doing. And me driving myself to the ground in the library just makes me hate that. And I don't need to have my bed made from the day before to have it be done for today. I don't need to sort of lose that love of reading, and I don't need to lose myself in sort of my perception of myself and what I think I could be. I'll say it once, just because you can, just because you're smart enough doesn't mean you should. Like, do what you love. I'm leading into my college essay right now. I haven't read this in a very long time, so we're gonna see how it goes. I can't imagine it's gonna be great, but it is bizarre. So it's called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Spontaneity. Why is almond milk called milk and not almond juice or almond water? Why don't ants wear clothes? Why don't humans have sticky pads to climb trees? If we're made mostly of water and we drink water, are we being cannibals? This is my brain, all the time. It's exhausting, but to say the least, extremely entertaining. Obviously, these questions make no sense. We all know that. But for a second, you imagined a reality in which they did. For a brief moment, you contrived a world in which fire ants flaunt Gucci bags and the queen of the ant hill struts overpriced, slightly unflattering, microscopic Prada sunglasses. For an instant, you light up. You laugh. And this part's horrible, don't judge me for this. And not in that obligatory LOL type of way, but in a genuine, lighthearted fashion. just the way laughter is meant to be, freeing. Inspired by this philosophy, I couldn't stop myself from making one of the best purchases of my life, a Nuns Having Fun calendar for a nun at my school. I can still picture the gaping faces of the other freshmen as I handed Sister Mary Glavin the gift at my school's annual Christmas formal. Yeah, for context, Sister Mary Glavin was this like random nun at my school who taught some religion class or something, but she was so strict and I just wouldn't sort of abide to any of her rules, so we sort of bonded over that. Like, I remember, because it was like a whole tradition that every sort of year at our Christmas formal, I would bring her just a random ass calendar. Like, I didn't even know her the first time I did it. And I did sloths. I did this one that I'm going to talk about where I literally just put our faces on random things and then, like, literally using Snapchat stickers and then printed it using Vistaprint. Like, I don't even know what the other ones were. Oh, I gave our Nuns Having Fun calendar. That's what it started with. Okay, yeah, that makes more sense now. Okay, moving on. Followed by everyone's almost verbal sigh of relief when she began to crack up rather than freak out. Such a reaction has become tradition, as every year I gift the same sister a variously themed calendar. Sophomore year, the motif was sloths, because I'm a sucker for alliteration. And honestly, what is more random than walking into a nun's office and seeing baby sloths on the wall? Last year, I felt the need to up my game. So, with the help of Vistaprint and the best Photoshop platform in the business, Snapchat stickers, I put together a personalized calendar with the sister's face featured on every page. Nun surfing? Check. Nun as the Thanksgiving turkey? Check. Nun as both Santa and the kid on Santa's lap? Double nun check. She loved it. That's how I try my best to live each and every day, within that sparkle of creativity found in the crinkle of a smile. I know who I am, and I've learned, mistake by mistake, to fall in love with that person, no matter how hard it may be sometimes. As a result, this year, I've begun something for myself, a routine of sorts. This cycle is triggered every morning by the chaotic eruption of Trey Songz' Bottoms Up featuring Nicki Minaj. That was literally my ringtone for like 4 years. Followed by a 45-minute drive. I live so fucking far from my school. Packed with Crime Junkie podcasts, Murder Plus 5:30 a.m. equals perfect combo, and then a cycle class. Developing something for myself has taught me that people who listen to electronic dance music at 6 a.m. are a different breed, but more importantly, that it's okay to be selfish sometimes. Take that time, cherish it, then otherwise live for others. Too many times I was forced to understand that in the pursuit of everything, you can become nothing, but in the laughter of others, you can find everything. So take the time now to understand that life is way too short not to take the long way. Happiness is synonymous with spontaneity, so why not do the unexpected? Be the unexpected. Take that sudden turn to watch the planes land at sunset. Time is meant not just to be filled, but fulfilled. Why not make every moment a memory? Strive every day for that feeling that absolutely nothing could be better than this time, right here, right now. Drive a little longer, sing a little louder, give a little more. Make people feel like they matter. If there's something you could do to make someone else's life just a bit more bearable on the bad days, and just that much brighter on the best, then why not do that very thing? Laughter is contagious, so be the virus. So I hope you enjoyed the episode for today. It was kind of all over the place, but I feel like I said what I need to say. Also, I am very, very late for a meeting. I just got the you good text from the leader. That's not great, but stay busy, stay happy, and enjoy all the challenges as they come. Bye, guys.